All right, once you get your Bibles out tonight, Brother Caleb Hewitt has a second man ministry with his family and our acquaintance with him. And we became acquaintances and we become friends. They've been a little while with us. And many of you know I asked for prayer for a missionary that was driving down the road out on the interstate, right, the turnpike, Florida Turnpike, and the roof blew off his motorhome. That is this missionary, and he has had his RV out at our camp under the basketball pavilion. You can do more things under that pavilion than just play basketball. And we've been putting a roof back on his RV, and I say we as a royal we, because really it's been Brother Doug and Brother Caleb working on that, and I thank God for them working on that, getting it back together, and it being tight. Was talking to him today about it, but I do appreciate him being with us, and he's going to share his burden for what he wants to do. And really, with our Restore-a-thon being focused kind of on from sea to shining sea, he's really wanting to help church planters. And so I don't want to tell everything he has, but I did want to mention this, and I don't know how many of you know, could you guess which one of the radio DJs did the voiceover for that, for the Restore-a-thon edit? How many of you think you know who it was? All right, everybody, it was it. So that was me. Now, they took the computer and did a lot of stuff to it. But that was me, amen. And so I hope you got your Bibles with you tonight. Brother Caleb, you come, whatever you want to do, brother. Thank you.
We have that video ready.
Yes, sir.
Hey, brother, can we go ahead and play that video y'all got? I don't know where to even look, amen. But we got a video presentation tonight, and it kind of helps introduce our ministry, and we'll elaborate on the video here. But I tell you, not planning to be here and getting the opportunity to have been here, it's been just a great blessing. I want to tell you, Landmark Baptist Church, y'all have encouraged me and my family in our days here. Not every church is doing what y'all are doing, amen? And just to sit back and get to kind of watch from the outside and see how this well-oiled machine that is Landmark Baptist Church operates. And it all happens because Brother Parsons has the help that he needs to make it all happen. Amen. Y'all keep jumping in there with both feet, working alongside your pastor and working together with one another and make it happen. This cannot happen without the right kind of help. And we want to take what we've learned here and take it to some missionary somewhere and help them. So enjoy the video, and we'll be right back.
Acts chapter 16, verse number 9. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." I believe the greatest cry of missionaries today is the cry for help. Hello, my name is Caleb Hewitt. This is my wife Deanna and our children Braylon, Elijah, Dakota, and Emmett. We are the Hewitt family, and God has called us into the Helps ministry. We are members of Faith Baptist Church in Spring City, Tennessee, under Pastor Tim Giddens, and are serving through Macedonia World Baptist Missions.
Hello, my name is Tim Giddens. I'm the pastor of Faith Baptist Church in Spring City, Tennessee. I want to recommend for your consideration the Caleb Hewitt family and your missions program. I've known Brother Caleb and Sister Deanna for many years, and I now have had the privilege of being their pastor for several years. Brother Caleb is called into the Helps ministry. He has the unique ability to be the second man and work in the shadows. Being in the ministry now myself for almost 25 years, I know that that is a rare thing for a man to be able to work that second man position. Brother Caleb can do this. He can preach. He can preach a Bible message. He is a wonderful personal witness. He can also fix your car. God's given him many gifts that he uses for the work of the ministry. So whether you're a struggling church or a missionary that needs a man to fill the pulpit while you're on furlough, Brother Caleb is a man that I recommend. He is a gentleman, both inside the pulpit and out. Please prayerfully consider him in your missions program.
Our family has been working in the western part of the United States in missions since 2012. We have seen and experienced firsthand the great need of help. God has led us to form the Second Man Ministries in an effort to meet this great need. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." With the Lord's help and guidance, we will answer that cry for help and come alongside our fellow missionaries to help them bear their burdens and meet their needs. God has clearly laid out a biblical principle of going out two by two. Moses had Aaron, Elijah had Elisha, and Paul had Silas. In Mark chapter 6, verse number 7, we can see our Lord and Savior sending his disciples out, you guessed it, two by two. Many missionaries leave the field every year due to the lack of help. It is evident that help is needed. Oftentimes, missionaries reach the field undersupported. They reach the field alone or with a small, new congregation that may or may not have been discipled, and the missionaries are left juggling the pastorate, leading the music, teaching all the classes, doing all the soul winning, discipleship, cleaning, and the like. Oftentimes, there is a building project on top of all that. With little or no help, this can leave a missionary overwhelmed. We have a desire to step in and hold up the man of God's arms. We can do this by providing anything from pulpit supply to construction help to vehicle maintenance and anything in between.
But the laborers are few. God needs some willing vessels to be used.
Here am I will go. I will reach the lost untold. I will give the Lord control.
Would you please consider partnering with our family as we go and try to be a help to missionaries around the country?
That's a little bit about the work God's got us doing. So, as many of you know, the need for help in this area of missions is a great need. Missionaries, our churches do a good job at sending them a support check, sending them with our prayers, and then say, God bless you. We'll look forward to getting your prayer letter and seeing what God does. Amen. But oftentimes the missionary shows up on the field. Even in stateside missionaries, they might as well be going to a foreign country. And they get to an area where they don't know much about it. They don't know any of the people there. And they are trying to start over again in a new life with a lot of times a young family and trying to start a new church all at the same time. It can get to be overwhelming. Amen. That's where all my hair went. Amen. And so it gets to be tough. But praise God, He sent us out there and I believe he's going to use us to go and help missionaries. And that's just what our heart is, to go and come alongside the church planter, to be someone that they can lean on especially in the early days of a work as they are out there getting it started. And we want to be there to help them with everything from moving them to the field that God's called them to do, to helping them get set up, helping the family transition, and just be a friendly face in the early days. Amen. Some of y'all know from door knocking, you're not always received too kindly. Amen. That's even here in Haines City, Florida. Imagine going to a place where it's all Catholics and Lutherans, and here's the Baptists showing up, and they've been taught that you're a cult your whole life. Amen. And they are going to be very skeptical. Amen. And generally not very welcoming. That's why you go in the wintertime. That way, if they open the door, they have to let you in, especially up north when it's 30 below zero. Amen. And you go until that frostbite starts setting in, then you get in the truck, warm up a little bit, and go out again. Praise the Lord. Amen. But no, so we want to come alongside the missionary, be someone that can come and stay with a missionary for up to about 6 months. So we want to do that once or twice a year, 3 to 6 months at a time with missionaries. And then from there, go from missionary to missionary around the country that needs help with. We can help with special meetings, outreaches. Maybe there's special physical needs of the physical side of the ministry they have that they need help with. Or if the missionary and his family that have been laboring and serving faithfully, maybe they just need a chance to step back and go and hit the refresh button with their family, we can offer them some relief so they can go and take some time to focus on the family that God's given them, and they can leave their work in trustworthy hands. And so that's our burden. We just want to go and just really want to be a help from sea to shining sea, amen, and go see God do something. There's a great, great need for churches here in America, and I'm tired of seeing men not be able to make it because they don't have the help. So we want to go and try to be the help that they need. We've been there, everything from the planning to the pastoring to the building to the laboring. We've done a little bit of everything in between the missions over these past 10 years that God's had us serving in the upper Midwest. And we're nobody special. We surely don't have it all figured out. But we're just a willing vessel that we want the Lord to use. And so please pray for us. We've got some prayer cards on the table in the back, and we'll have some too if you want to come up. If you have any questions, please come see us after church. We're trying to get our support raised as quickly as we can. Trying to figure out when we started necessarily full-time deputation. I think our first trip out after we said, you know, we're starting deputation, the Lord had us busy before that, but it was January, and we came down here, made it about 2 weeks, then the roof got ripped off our motorhome. So Lord put us here, amen. I'm glad he did. We have thoroughly enjoyed our time here around the Landmark Baptist Church and church and everybody. Thank you so much. Brother Doug, he's my new best friend, amen. And y'all pray for me, amen. But no, he's been a real blessing. And I tell you, he's tough. He took a tumble off our scaffolding we had set up there, landed flat on his back, and laid there for a second, got up, took some Tylenol, and said, all right, let's get back to work. And I'm thinking, man, you need to go home. And he went right back to the work. So, amen. But no, he's been a real blessing. But let's open our Bibles up to Mark chapter number 5. Mark chapter number 5. And I may not have all the answers, but I'm glad God's given us a Bible that does. Amen. And the topic tonight I want to preach on is how to be a successful missionary. Amen. I surely don't have all this figured out, so I'm not going off of what I have to say, but I'm going off what the Word of God has to say here. And so our text we're at this evening, it's a very familiar text. If you've been at church in church any length of time, no doubt you've heard about the maniac of Gadara. Amen. That's something we all heard about growing up. We've heard about it in our churches and things like that for years. We see this here, the demoniac of Gadara. I'm going to kind of give a brief introduction and get up to the main points. I want to try to respect the time this evening. So we know Jesus has just got done teaching and preaching. He told his disciples to get into the ship, and they're going to go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And as they're out there on the ship, the great storm comes up, and the disciples, they're doing everything they can to get the boat to shore. Amen. Isn't that just like us when the storms and trials come up? Jesus is in the boat, but we seem to forget that he's there. Amen. We do everything we can to try to get through the storm on our own. And finally, when the disciples, they had exhausted all their resources, they had reached their limitations of what they could physically do, and the storm wasn't any better. Amen. They said, it's like someone said, oh yeah, Jesus is on board. Where's he at? Let's go find Jesus. And they went right to where Jesus was at, man, right where they left him, amen. And they got Jesus, woke him up. Jesus rebuked the disciples, rebuked the seas, calmed the storm, and they were on the other side of the shore. Immediately there comes out from among the tombs one who has an unclean spirit. And that gets us right here in chapter 5. And they, when they had come over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him a man out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. So the disciples and Jesus, they're just getting off the ship there. And no doubt the disciples are still marveling about what Jesus had just done. And they're caught off guard by this naked, crazy, devil-possessed man with chains and fetters and scars and scabs and no doubt still bleeding from the night before where he was crying out and cutting himself in the tombs. We find this man coming to Jesus. I wonder if this man had seen what Jesus had done in the life of those disciples. I wonder if this man had noticed how those disciples were able to make it through that storm because they called on Jesus and trusted him to get them through it. I wonder how many devil-possessed, crazy people we might run up on in our life that they watch our lives. We may never hear anything from them, but they watch us. They see when the storms come up. They see when the trials come up, and they're waiting to see how we react to decide if they want to trust our God or not. What if they see Jesus working in our lives, and that opens the door wide open to be a witness to that person and share, lead them to Christ. Amen. That's exactly, I believe, what happened here, and we can see it in the scriptures here. But let's read on to see how we can be a successful missionary. So we see this man, he had his dwelling among the tombs. No man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man bind him. We find here that the community tried to put this man in the AA program. They put him in jail a little bit. Amen. They said, now you don't do that again. You go spend a night here in the drunk tank and you'll be better tomorrow. They took and slapped a fine on him. They did what they could do to reform this man. The community cannot bring the lost to Christ. Amen. Everything that the community can try. No doubt these people had good intentions, but it just would not work. Let's read on a little further. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Self-reformation will not bring peace to a soul. Amen. The community had exhausted their resources. They finally said, we can't help him. Put him out there in the tombs among the dead people, and he'll eventually die, and we don't even have to bury him. He'll already be there. Amen. They put him out there and forgot about him. Well, he went to doing everything he could do for himself, trying to do better, trying to find peace, trying to find relief, and it wouldn't work. Then Jesus shows up here. Verse 6, but when he saw Jesus far off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Verse 8, for he had said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked. There in that verse 13, I believe we can see the first step in being a successful missionary. Now, we're not, the obvious missionary in this text is Jesus, right? I mean, he's the greatest example of a missionary, leaving his home in heaven, coming down here to this earth, being born of a virgin, taking on this robe of flesh so that he could die for our sins and give us a home in heaven. Amen. Provide full salvation. But that's not what we're looking at tonight. He's throughout this whole thing. Amen. But he's not the missionary I want to look at this evening. I want to look at this demoniac of Gadara and see how God took a devil-possessed crazy man and made him a successful missionary. Amen. And I tell you, if you're here tonight, you're saved, and you're doing something for the Lord, you went through the exact same steps. Amen. And we're going to see these here tonight as we unfold. For point number one, before you can be used of God, you must be born again. Amen. Jesus told Nicodemus there in John chapter 3, verse 7, he said, ye must be born again. He wasn't speaking to Nicodemus in a general sense. He was speaking directly to the man Nicodemus when he said that. Tonight, if you got saved, it wasn't because some fellow wearing a suit and tie standing behind a pulpit said a blanket prayer over the congregation and told you got saved. That's not how that works. Amen. When you got saved, Jesus dealt with you as an individual. Amen. And you personally had to put your faith in Christ and be born again. Amen. That happened for me August 8, 1998 on a Thursday night at Vacation Bible School. I fell under Holy Ghost conviction. The Lord showed me I was lost and on my way to hell. That night I repented of my sins. I let go of being the preacher's son. I let go of being a good church kid. Amen. Even though I was mean as the devil, and God saved me that night when I put my faith in him and him alone. Amen. That's how salvation happens, and that's what happened to this man. He had seen the testimony of what Jesus could do for somebody. He had watched and seen what Christ could do, and he thought, maybe he can do something for me. He ran to Jesus, talking about that light in class before service. That light shone upon the Apostle Paul. It didn't get those two men beside him, like you said, brother. It was right on him. God singled him out that night and dealt with him. This man seen the working of God, seen what God Jesus was capable of, and that light of the Holy Ghost, I believe, singled him in on him, and he came running to Christ, said, I need what you've got. Amen. This man got saved. There's too many people today running around our churches claiming the name of Christ that have never been saved. Amen. They're doing things in the name of God but they have never trusted in him themselves. That does not work. Amen. You must be born again. If you're here tonight and you've not been saved, that's where you need to start your walk for God at. Amen. I tell you, if we don't ever get past this point here tonight, this is the most important thing going. Amen. The world's going to do what they're going to do. Amen. The government's going to do what they're going to do. The people outside these walls, they're going to do what they're going to do. But tonight, If you've never been born again, you must be born again. Amen. If you want to have your sins forgiven and a home in heaven prepared for you, you must be born again. Repent of your sins and put your faith in Christ tonight. Then you can start your walk with God. Now let's move on again. Verse 14 we see, "And they that fed the swine fled, told in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done." It's amazing when Jesus does something, people go and tell about it. Amen. Verse 15, it says, "And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid." Step number two, if you're going to be a successful Christian, successful missionary, we might as well just call us missionaries tonight, because every one of us has been called to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Amen. We can all be a missionary. Your world may be going out the next street over and telling that person about Christ. Amen. But that is missions. Leaving where you are to go somewhere else and tell them about Christ. Amen. So this man, after he got saved, next thing that happened, he got sanctified. Amen. He got right with God. It's amazing when Jesus saves somebody, there's a difference that even the world can see. Amen. My father-in-law, he got saved from a life of sin. It's been 7 years ago now. And it's amazing. He'd come to our church in the past and would come for special events, things like that. And after he got saved, him and my mother-in-law, they showed up at church one evening. And this lady pulled my wife to the side and said, "Deanna, who's that with your mother?" She said, "That's my dad." She said, "That doesn't even look like him." She said, "Well, he got saved and Jesus made a difference." Amen. The difference was so real in his life, he didn't even look like the same man. Isn't that amazing? I wouldn't give you 2 cents for the social gospel today that preaches salvation without a change. Amen. Bible still says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." Amen. "Old things have passed away. Behold, all things shall become new." Amen. I'm glad that when this man got saved, when he got a hold of Jesus Christ, he no longer did he have to go back to the chains and the feathers to try to contain him. No longer did he have to go out in the tombs and cut himself day and night trying to find some relief. He finally found that peace that he needed, and that was in Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the way you deal with devils today, is through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And they will make a difference. This man got sanctified. It's amazing in the Bible when we see people get right with God, their clothing changes. Amen. Their speech changes. Their attitude changes. Their behavior changes. Amen. I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for a church that preaches you can be saved and still show up at church half naked and be okay. Amen. That's not right according to the scriptures. Sin and nakedness always go hand in hand. Righteousness and clothes always go hand in hand in the scriptures. Amen. Amen. He got right with God. He got sanctified. His life changed. It was such a radical change that all these people who weren't scared of him before when he was full of the devil, all of a sudden they got afraid. They got afraid. Amen. When you get right with, when a person gets saved and gets right with God, those good time buddies they used to run around with, they're going to get real nervous. I got a feeling this guy, he was a two-fisted drinker guy, that one that if he was in a fight, he's the one you wanted to call on. Amen. He was the biggest, baddest dude in town. When he got saved, it made everybody else that looked to him to justify what they were doing, it made them realize how dirty rotten they are. Amen. That's what getting right with God. That's why it's important that we as Christians live a Christian life. The world's not going to see Christ in us if we never let Christ come out of us. Amen. If we never let that change come through our lives, it makes people nervous. That's why when you get saved, people are your friends, your buddies, your people you run around with, they're either going to leave you alone or they're going to get right and go with you. Amen. And young people, look at me. Y'all listen to me. If y'all don't catch anything else, listen to me, young people. If you've got friends that when you start getting right with God, they don't want nothing to do with you, leave them alone. Yeah. Amen. Don't waste your time chasing after them. Get in your Bible. Get close to your church. God will send you friends in your local church, and you can grow in the Lord together. Amen. Amen. All right, let's read on verse 16. "And they that saw it told it how it befell them that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine." They were more upset, I believe, about the swine than they were about this man getting right. Amen. They knew that was next week's paycheck, brother, and it was gone. They was real upset about their pocketbook getting disrupted. Verse 17, "They began to pray him to depart out of their coast." People want people to get right until they get right. And then they say, "All right, Jesus." They want Jesus to show up till he does. Then they say, "Oh, we didn't expect all that. You need to leave." I'm leaving a lot of churches there praying, asking the Lord to show up, and he shows up and scares them all half to death. And they say, "We can't handle that. You need to go." Amen. All right. Sorry. Verse number 18. So we see him, they've kicked Jesus out. When he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might go with him. Next step, point number 3, I think, is where we're at. Amen. This man surrendered his life, lock, stock, and barrel, to the Lord. Amen. If you're a child of God here tonight and you've never surrendered it all to God, what are you waiting on? He gave it to you anyhow. Amen. We can go look at the feeding of the 5,000. That little lad had a little lunch, made a great big Lord, had a whole lot of leftovers. He just took and gave what he had to God. He lent it back to the Lord. Amen. I believe he had some of those basketfuls to take home. Praise God. Amen. God's given us everything we have. We might as well just give it back to him. Amen. So if you're not living that surrendered Christian life, you're missing out. Amen. You're missing out. This man surrendered everything. Verse number 19. We can see he submitted himself to the will of God. After you surrender, you must come to that place of submission. Amen. Jesus told him, verse number 19, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends. Jesus said, now I know you want to go where I'm going. I know you want to be where I'm at. But these people, they've kicked me out. They won't let me go and preach here. But you can stay and be a witness. You can stay and tell them what I've done. You can stay and preach my gospel. This man, we don't see where he argued with God. We don't see where he got all upset and said, now, Lord, I don't know what to tell him. Lord, you know who I just was 2 seconds ago. Lord, they're not going to listen to me. He don't begin to argue with God. What does he do? Let's find out. The rest of the verse says, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Verse 20 says, and he departed and began to publish in the Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Last step to being a successful missionary, this man got busy serving. Amen. Share-a-thon's coming up. There's a lot of work, sounds like, to be done at Share-a-thon. You know how it's going to get done? People are going to get up and go do it. Amen. You know how Haines City is going to continue to be reached with the gospel? You're going to have to get out and go reach them. Amen. You know how we're going to be able to go help missionaries? We're going to have to get busy serving in the field that God's called us to. Amen. I don't believe this guy when he... I can almost just a picture in my mind. He's standing there knee-deep in water, hanging on to the edge of the boat, ready to jump on and go wherever Jesus is taking off to. Jesus says, hold on, I need you to stay here and tell these people what I've done for you. I can almost see in my mind this fellow standing there looking at Christ. He turns around, looks at the crowd, and says, hey, y'all don't go anywhere. I need to tell you about a man named Jesus and what he did for me, what he wants to do for you. I believe he got busy right there serving and doing what God had called him to do. Amen. He got busy. He didn't wait. He didn't feel like he had to. I mean, he had what he needed. Amen. He had what Christ had done for him. He had all he needed to go tell somebody about Jesus. Amen. So when you come to your preacher and say, preacher, I just don't know what to tell folks. Tell them what Jesus did for you, amen. If that answer doesn't suffice, maybe you might need to get saved so that you can have something to tell folks, amen. All right. So, because this man got saved, sanctified, submitted, surrendered, and got busy serving, I believe we could skip over to chapter 7 tonight. I believe we can see where this man was successful. We all want to be successful in what we do for the Lord, don't we? Success in God's eyes is not measured the same way that it is in man's eyes. Man, when man sees numbers, they see success. I could mention something right now that we've probably all been watching in the news and everything else, and see they're seeing numbers, but I don't believe they're seeing biblical success. Amen. The gospel's not going forward. God just wants us to be faithful. God wants us to go and do what He's called us to do. That's success in the Christian life, amen. It's just being faithful to God and His Word. But this man, I believe, chapter 7 and verse 31, again departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. Now, Jesus and His disciples, they're going right back to that same area. The Gadarenes, there, that's in the Decapolis area there. The same community, the same towns, the same people that just in chapter 5, they kicked Jesus out of town because he changed a man's life. Amen. But verse 32, we see a different story here. And they bring unto Him. Who's they? The people of the community, amen? The people who, no doubt, just a couple chapters earlier, were running Jesus out of town. And they bring to Him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech Him to put His hand upon him. So just in chapter 5, we've seen them running Jesus out of town. But chapter 7, when Jesus shows up, there's something that changed, because all of a sudden they're bringing the sick out to him. They're bringing the ones that need a touch from God to him. What do you think changed? Yeah. One faithful missionary. One faithful witness. One man who said, I'm not going to let my past stop me from going to tell somebody about how Jesus can change their future. One man who said, I'm not going to let my inability stop God's ability to do something. Amen. One man who said, I'm not going to let my feelings get hurt because God told me, no, you can't go there, but I want you to go here. Amen. And he just got busy faithfully serving the Lord and doing what Jesus had told him to do. Amen. And I believe if we'll do that, at the end of the day, whether we see five saved or whether we see 5,000 saved in our ministries, whether we see one convert or 100 converts, at the end of the day, if we've been faithful to God's word, then we can hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. We can be a successful Christian. Lord, thank you for your word tonight. I pray that you take it and use it. Be with the pastor as he closes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand to our feet as the musicians come tonight. If God spoke to your heart, why don't you step out and come? Maybe God spoke to your heart about being a missionary. Amen. Maybe God spoke to your heart about getting saved. You heard him talk about it, but you've never experienced it. You've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Why don't you step out? I'll meet you in the front. We'll take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven, as Brother Burt sings. Bow your head with me tonight, and in an attitude of prayer, if you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as your Savior, let me give you another invitation to step down and walk down this old-fashioned aisle. And we'll take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that heaven will be your home. You say, preacher, I'm not sure of that. Well, don't leave unsure. You can know for sure that you've been born into the family of God and heaven will be your home if you simply trust the finished work of Jesus Christ. Look, tonight you say, well, I know the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. It can be tonight if you just come and trust in Jesus. Don't put it off. Maybe you've been putting it off, but something that was said tonight clearly let you know for sure you know you're not in the family of God. Why don't you get it right? Maybe you need to be baptized. Maybe you need to join the church. Whatever it is that God spoke to your heart about tonight, you do that as Brother Burt sings.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
Amen. Listen, if you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as your Savior and you couldn't bring yourself to walk forward during the invitation, I'll be right here for just a few minutes and I'll be happy to take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure that heaven's your home. We don't want anybody to leave here and not know that. So please find us and let us take the Bible and show you how. I got something to share with you. Brother Josh Moore, if you'll step up here. Josh is coming to join our church if we'll vote him in. He's been saved and baptized. I will see your right hand to fellowship to welcome him in. Josh Moore is one of my teenagers from my youth group a long time ago, went to our college and went home and kept going to college, amen, after he came here and has graduated, and he's going to help us with some classes, and some of the staff said, amen, we need some more help, amen. And so, just what Brother Caleb Hewitt was saying tonight about needing the right men at the right time, and God has always been good to give us those men that we need when we need them, amen. And so this is one of those men coming to help us this year, amen. And so you come by tonight as we close in prayer. I'm going to let him close in prayer, and then you come and shake his hand, get to meet him, and welcome him into the fellowship of the church. Josh closes in prayer.
Dear Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for your love and coming and dying on the cross for us. We thank you for men of faith that have gone before us. I just ask that you help the rest of this week, help all the members here, that we might grow toward you and grow closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.